Welcome. This is Perry Marshall. I'm with Brian Todd and Shelley Ellis, and we're going to spend an hour talking about Google's content network today. I really appreciate you taking your time out of your schedule. I know that you're busy. You got a lot of things you could do and a lot of things you could be listening to, and so I'm honored that you're here. And in the next hour, we are going to cover three different things. First of all, I'm going to talk about what you can learn about the content network from Gmail, which is a really interesting little topic. The second thing that we're going to talk about is placement targeting, which there's a lot of things that you can do with placement targeting that most people aren't really aware of or don't use nearly to the extent they could. And the third thing that we're going to talk about is filters and ways of excluding sites from being shown on the content network. And all of those kind of push you above the edge. And this is a preview call for Shelley's Content Network Boot Camp, which is starting on January 20. The beginner boot camp that we did in November sold out early. Half the seats for this one are already sold, and it begins on January 20. And so I want to encourage you to seriously consider taking this. If you're spending any significant amount of money on Google, if Google AdWords is a significant part of your advertising mix, then I would like to boldly say that this is a wise investment that will return many times. And you can go to perrymarshall.com/Shelley, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y, and you can find out the details. Again, it starts on January 20. AdWords has evolved a lot, and the content network has evolved the most. When it first started, the content network seemed like a gimmick to me. It was this big cloud where Google would give you clicks that came from websites someplace. And they just kind of threw it in there, and after a while we figured out how to separate it from search from content. But at first it was like this really lousy traffic that doesn't convert very well. You know, what are they doing to us? Are they trying to screw us or what? Let's add insult to injury. Not only that, back in the day, like when AdWords was brand new, they had a pretty good commission split to AdSense publishers, and AdSense became this bizop thing for a while. It's like, okay, go build a website, put a bunch of Google ads on it, and if you can figure out how to get traffic to it, you make a lot of money. And people started making these fake websites, and they would build them with these automated tools, and it was totally garbage traffic, and they would get good search engine rankings with them. And I know people personally who are making $70,000 a month with garbage AdSense sites. And that just made it worse for advertisers. Okay, and so that's the early days, and it seemed like the content network was a big waste of time. Okay, that has changed. Google has something like 50 different patents on content network technology, and it has really become a place where a smart Google advertiser who really understands the content network and knows how to work with it, you know, it's kind of a spongy, amorphous thing. If you know how to work with it and to tweak the controls and get the kind of traffic out of it you want, you're 2 years ahead of everybody else. You know, there's a lot of people, they've pretty much figured out Google AdWords on the search side. It's fairly straightforward, but content is this whole other animal. So enter Shelley Ellis, okay? Now, I've been aware of Shelley for probably about 5 years. She was one of the very first people to send me a testimonial on my AdWords book. And I remember that. And then one of my customers hired her to do AdWords and to manage his AdWords account. And he'd gone through three or four AdWords managers, and she was really superb, and he raved about her. Well, then about a year or two ago, she got in touch with us, and I had this conversation with her, and she explained to me that the Content Network had all this capability that hardly anybody knew how to use, and she, every single day, she was doing experiments with it. And I'm like, you know, let's get you on board. So we're doing this coaching program with her. I've got her on this call today to tell you some of the secrets that she's learned about Content Network. And Shelly, welcome.
Hi.
It's great to have you here.
Always good to be here.
Could you just tell me just a little bit about, and by the way, your voice is kind of echoey. If you have a different line or something you can call in on, I would encourage you to do that. I can hear you, but...
It's echoing?
Yeah, it's a little distant, so...
Okay. Let me try to call back in. I'm going to call back again.
How about I go into my Gmail handout, and then as soon as you come back, you just let me know, okay?
Okay.
So Shelly's going to tell you a little bit more of her story, but right now I have a handout for you. It's at perrymarshall.com/Shelly. Shelley / call notes, callnotes, one word, perrymarshall.com/Shelley with an EY / call notes. Okay. And so I get this handout, and what you see in this handout is actually, it's pretty simple. It's stuff that I got from my Gmail account. Now, I began to figure out how the Content Network really worked by using a Gmail account. And if you use Gmail, you know that Google serves ads every time you read an email. And they match the ads to the content of the email, which is a little bit spooky at first. I know the privacy people had a cow over this when Gmail was brand new. Obviously, John Q. Public doesn't really seem to care all that much. And it's all automated, of course, anyway. But you can start to see how Google matches content to ads just by going through your email box and seeing the difference in the ads compared to the content of the emails. And so I haven't shown you the emails themselves here. You can do that with your own Gmail account or just by opening one up. But I want to show you some things that are kind of subtle here. And so, again, we're at perrymarshall.com/Shelley/call notes. And I'm giving you the ad content from the right side of the Gmail page. And so one email was just about regular online marketing stuff like you and I talk about on these calls. And I get these links that say free Google local listing, internet marketing degree, and an SEO company. Okay? And then something that not everybody notices is underneath those ads, you will see links to topics. Basically, they're keyword clusters. And so it says internet marketing professionals, downloadable ebooks, internet marketer, ebook downloads. Now, between the ads and those more about links, that tells you what Google thinks the email is about. Now, in a crude description, the way Gmail figures out, or the way the Content Network figures out what a web page is about, is they look for the most uncommon words and phrases that are used in the email. this is not unlike if you go look on Amazon at a book, they'll have a little listing near the top called statistically improbable phrases. Okay? And so, you know, there's words like and the and me and you that are in any email, but then there's other words like maybe straitjacket or tax returns or email marketing or something like that are not very common. And so Google looks for the most unusual words on the page, and then they match the ads to the words. And it's a shotgun, not a rifle. And Google's AdSense system actually identifies multiple topics on the web page and will put ads from all those topics together there. And what they're doing is they're guessing which ads are likely to get the most clicks based on history. And it's really important to understand that Google is constantly monitoring ads to see what click-through rates they get to figure out how much they should serve them. They're always looking for that magical ad that gets clicked on by everybody. Okay? And, you know, this one here, it says Internet Marketing Degree. Get your degree online in Internet Marketing at Full Sail University. That is what I would call a Jetstream ad. And I figured out the Jetstream by using a Gmail account. And for those of you who are not familiar, the Jetstream is my word for what happens when an ad goes viral. When Google figures out that an ad will work all over the place, or at least, you know, in a certain topic, it will work on almost any web page, and it'll get shown all over the place. And Jetstream ads could get 5,000, 10,000, sometimes 50,000 clicks a day. And if you have the right kind of product and offer, and you can go into the Jetstream and filter out the bad traffic, you really have a gold mine on your hands. And especially if you're in any kind of a consumer market, this would be a pretty good goal for you to have. And I think one of the outcomes that people can expect from getting really good at the content network is, you know, it's that, you know, 2 years ahead of everybody else, you can get your ads into the Jetstream. Shelley, are you back?
I'm back.
All right.
Is that better?
Maybe. There's a couple things I want to point out to you. If you go down to the second set of examples on the handout, it says ads for an email about India's caste system. Now, caste system is not a very common word, and so Google's system picks up on that right away. And so you see this ad about slavery. You see this Am I a Good Mom ad. Take the quiz and see if you're good, bad, or so-so mother, mydailymoment.com. Now, that is a Jetstream ad. Okay? That ad has nothing to do with the caste system whatsoever. And so when you see an email or a web page that's about a very narrow topic, and you see an ad that's for very broad appeal, that's a Jetstream ad. Okay.
Do you mind giving the URL again for that handout?
PerryMarshall.com/Shelley/call notes. And Shelley is Shelley. And I'm on the second set of ads here in this handout. It's a PDF. Okay? And there's actually two Jetstream ads. The other one is Sarah Palin in 2012. What do you think? Share your thought now, Newsmax.com. Okay? I got two Jetstream ads showing up in an email that's about the Indian caste system. All right? You can learn a lot. And these two ads here are worth studying because they do really well. Now, somebody's putting up money, too. It's not just the click-through rate. There's also money behind these ads. But you should also figure out why is there money there? What are they offering? If you go to that website, what are they doing? It's worth looking at. Okay? Then you have Tamil Brahmin Matrimonial, Marry Well, Settled NRI, Girl, Boy, Register Free, Search, Chat, and Marry. I love it. It's so Indian. BharatMatrimony.com. Join free now. and it's just from that one email and the ads that show up next to it, you get this very good idea of how Google's system works. And notice, when you look at the more about links, there's not a more about Good Moms, there's not a more about Sarah Palin, because Google knows that this email is not about those things. They showed that ad because people that are interested in the India caste system might still click on a Sarah Palin ad or a Good Mom ad. So really, the Jetstream ads are the internet equivalent of the headlines on a Cosmo or Redbook magazine or Men's Health or something like that that you would find in the supermarket checkout lane. This is the equivalent of the supermarket checkout lane on the internet, is these little ads.
And some of them are an attempt to connect to the topic that was in your original email, and most of them are not. I'm most interested in Untouchables on DVD. If I remember right, that's the 1980s movie with Kevin Costner and Sean Connery and so on, but somehow they connected Untouchables indirectly to your email about India's caste system.
Right. Now, this is a really interesting case study because there's hardly any ads at all for India's caste system. And if I click on caste system, you see that more about caste system? If I click on that link, I get a page of ads. And I've shown you the ads that show up for this. And this is really interesting. This gives you a whole extra view of how Google's content network works. Okay, the ads that you see here, this is the closest equivalent that there is to typing caste system on Google and seeing what search results come up on the content network. Okay, like which you can't really do, but if you could, this is the closest you could get to doing that, is you click on that caste system link and you get India travel packages, electricity on the cheap, ankle splint, cast aluminum mailbox, cast iron hot plate, okay, casting parts suppliers. And what that shows you is that Google is wondering if you meant something about metal casting, not the caste system, because Google's kind of dumb. And so they put that in there. And then they put the matrimony, they put India travel packages, India fiction books, and then there's a few things that don't really have anything to do with it, like the Untouchables DVD, the Fast and Furious movie. But if you see those ads very often at all, it means that they're doing well with generic traffic. And that's really good to know. Well, it could mean the advertiser is stupid, too. It could mean that they're throwing money at it. Okay, but it gives you an idea of what works on Google AdSense and the content network, even when things are not targeted. And that's a really useful piece of information. And I'm not going to go a whole lot more into the other examples here in this handout. You can look at them, and they somewhat explain themselves. But I want to go back to Shelley. Shelley, do you have anything to add to what we were just saying here?
I do. You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of the broad match
AKA expanded match, AKA the new broad-based session match.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot like that. It's Google really trying to guess at, you know, kind of trying to take all of this behavioral and conversations and whatnot and try to figure out exactly what you're going to respond to.
Exactly. And, yeah, a lot of this is broad match, like cast and cast system and metal castings. You know, those are overlaps of broad match. So it also gives you an idea how broad match really works.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I don't know if people realize, too, that there's some other things about Gmail that's just kind of interesting if you're just sort of backwards engineering. There are times when Google doesn't show ads, doesn't show ads at all. I actually had an email related to some medical conversations with someone, and Google didn't show any ads at all for that particular one. But they did show, like, the quote of the day. That was in the fun box. And then I had another one where I was just having a conversation about YouTube, and I didn't get any ads at all, but I did get the more about links, and all of them were YouTube-related. So I thought that was interesting. So, and another thing, too, is, and you sort of touched on this, was I had one that was about wall decals. And, I mean, there was everything from custom decals, dry erase wall covering, decals and stickers, wall decor, decorate your kids' wall. So Google, I mean, it's really interesting if they understand the crossover and the correlation.
And there's one here in this handout where the email was about gay marriage, and there was no ads.
Yeah.
And Google's like, we're not going to offend anybody on this topic.
Yeah.
Right? And you will routinely run into that. There's a whole set of categories that are like that. And so, yeah, if you use Gmail, you can start to get this kind of intuitive sense for how the content network works.
Yeah, and we're going to, when we go to Maui, it's going to be fun because we're going to actually take the ad planner and we're going to reverse engineer the ad planner and do something very similar to this where we start to learn all of Google's categories and how they categorize and how all of this fits together in categories. So that's going to be really interesting too. So
how do you, what benefit do you get by being able to do that?
A lot of life, similar to what we're doing right now, it's really understanding how Google thinks and, you know, understanding how you're, especially if you're going to do keyword themes, how grouping those keyword themes together, you know, sort of what Google's thought process is ahead of time before they ever start distributing your ads, you're going to have sort of a sense of what to expect. It's really interesting when you start piecing it backwards and backwards and backwards because, when you first pull up Ad Planner and you're looking at it, you're going, how in the heck did Google ever come up with that, you know, site under that category? But there's ways to actually go dig down deep and you can figure it out and it's really interesting.
Well, when you crack the code on this kind of stuff, you have a big advantage over your competition, and it's like turning the clock back to 2007 or something because you understand things at a level that the rest of the world just doesn't understand.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, typically you're going to be pulling your hair out trying to figure it out. And when you take a look at it from this perspective or like from the ad planner or whatever, and it really all starts to fit together and it makes more sense and you can anticipate how Google's going to respond before you ever get started, before you ever click, you know, turn that campaign on.
So, Shelley, why don't you talk about placement targeting? That's a whole, it's kind of a dangerous thing to do, actually, if you don't know what you're doing, but it's really powerful if you do. Could you talk about how you do it?
Sure. Let me tell you how powerful it is. I have someone that I talk to quite frequently, and they manage accounts where their clients spend anywhere from $50,000 to $100,000 a day in the content network, not even counting traditional paid search or any other type of advertiser, just in the Google Content Network. So we're talking about a lot of information and a lot of data. And, you know, I was having a conversation with him, and he was telling me how over time he will actually have more conversions from his placements than he does from his keyword themes, because what he's doing is he's taking those keyword themes and he's stripping out all of those placements, you know, from that data as he's building it and building these placement targeted campaigns, and then that's what's converting. So, I mean, it's very, very powerful. And
could you just, some people don't know what placement is, and I'm sorry, can you back up a step and explain that?
Sure. With content targeting, especially in Google, there are a couple of different ways that you can advertise in the content network. One is with keywords. You just build keyword themes, and through those keyword themes, Google determines where to go out on the content network and place your ads. The second way that you can advertise through the content network is to actually tell Google very specifically the exact sites or pages on the sites or categories of the sites that you want to advertise on. So if I wanted to advertise on Gmail, I actually have that option. I could actually, you know, choose Gmail as a target where, you know, I only want to target that. I could target, you know, MySpace or CNN. There's just, you know, all sorts of blogs and forums and news sites, anything you could pretty much think of that's on the content network. You can choose those sites specifically and advertise on them. What I wanted to talk about, we were talking about all the flavors about placement targeting, and I don't think people realize how many options they have for placement targeting and how many different ways that they can go about the strategies for actually using individual placements. So I just kind of want to, I'm going to run through the list really quick, and then we'll kind of go backwards and we can touch on, you know, different things in the list. But one of the options is to just have your keyword themes. You've already got your ad group set up for keywords. You can actually take placements and just drop them into those ad groups where you're bidding on keywords. So that's one option. You can have an entire campaign around a single placement where every single ad group is based off of keywords that target that placement. In other words, if I wanted to target MySpace and I wanted to target people who like to ski, I could actually have ad groups set up with different keywords around, you know, the topic of skiing, and every single ad group is still targeting MySpace.com. So that's another option. And then you have sort of the more traditional placement targeted campaigns. These are the ones that people are more familiar with. But even with that, you have different options there. You could just do one placement per ad group. That's one option. You could actually have multiple placements in your ad groups, and I call that the dump. I see a lot of people who just dump every single placement in every single ad group. And then another option is to actually take and you group your placements. You've got, maybe you have a list of 100 placements, and you take 20 of those in small groups, and 20 of those become an ad group, another 20 become another ad group, and so they're all very similar. They're sort of, this is more micro-targeting. You have the option to actually target an entire category within Google's content network. So if I wanted to target gaming, or if I wanted to target a region specifically, I could actually target a specific region within Google, you know, countries and those types of things. If I wanted to target specific cultural interest, as long as it's a category within the content network, I can target that entire category. And then the last thing I wanted to touch on was, you know, from placement targeting, is that YouTube actually has all kinds of options within itself. You can target that through YouTube promotional. You can actually target that through the content network in a variety of different ways. So those are, I mean, that whole list right there are just different strategies around placement targeting.
So let's take those one step at a time. There's, you can single out sites within a keyword list. And you could also single out keywords within a site list.
Yes.
Okay, so we can say, we can bid on the word bowling, and then we can increase our bid on certain sites that come up in the placement list, right?
Right.
Or another way is we can target certain sites like about.com and only target the keyword bowling on about.com.
Exactly.
So you can slice the world according to keywords, accenting sites, or slice the world according to sites, accenting keywords. That's a major innovation that came with the new interface. Actually, I think it's older than that. But
yeah, Enhanced Online Campaigns. It was in the summer of 2008 is when they started doing that.
Yes. Now, let's step through. Okay, then you said they have categories. Now, I think most people don't even have an awareness of this. So what are some of the categories, and what is a Google category?
Actually, back in the very beginning days of Google, as far as like setting up a content network, you used to have to set it up sort of with a category, or you had to go through their old interface, and you had to go through all those different categories. Do you remember doing that?
Vaguely.
It's been a while since they've made people do that. They still have that interface. It's sort of hidden. You kind of have to know how to get to it. But it's still sort of the same. I mean, the categories are still there. And Google's content network functions very much on a category basis. There's a lot of things that they do where you may not even realize it, but they're targeting your ad based on a category. So it's much easier if you just tell Google specifically that, you know, I want in the dating category, or I want in the games category, or I want in the weight loss category, or real estate, or beauty. You know, I mean, there's all these different, you know, I mean, it really, there's just hundreds and hundreds of categories that you can target. And like I said, many people just don't even realize that you can actually target those specifically. And let's see. Oh, we skipped one. Oh, I was gonna jump back to the keyword themes. What's interesting about that is a lot of people use the keyword themes, and then, you know, they've learned how they can go in and they can say, oh, okay, well, this placement is working really well for me, so I want to bump up my bid on this placement. So they drop it into their ad group, and that's a great strategy. Something that people don't realize is that you can actually do the opposite of that. You know, maybe your bid for your ad group is $2, but you have this one placement that just keeps eating up your budget, or it's getting the majority of your clicks and you're just not really comfortable with the quality of traffic on that site, but it's still really relevant. So what you can do is you can actually do the opposite. You can continue to show your ads on that site, but you just drop the bid. So you're not paying as much. You're not paying $2. Maybe you're only willing to pay $1 per click on that site. So you can do a couple of things with that.
Shelley, if this is not too much of a distraction, just wanted to mention that on YouTube is Google's now introduced a content network brand channel, which is a tremendous help for people that like to do image advertising or display advertising. Tons of videos that show you how to do all kinds of stuff on the content network. Now, I'm still of the opinion that even armed with those resources, people will still be better off if you know they're learning from you. But I just wanted to mention that there is a content network brand channel on YouTube where people can really get up to speed on some of the fundamentals of using the content network and so on.
I love that channel. I really do. It is a wonderful channel for people who just, you know, really want a very visual overview of just the basics of how the content network works.
Right.
Yeah, that's a great channel.
I wanted to mention that the thought like tumbled out of my brain. I'll remember it when. I'm sorry. Keep going. I know what it is. I'm sorry. Okay, when you were talking about categories, one of the categories that most people don't know exists is parked domains.
Yeah.
And I believe something in the neighborhood of 15% of Google's AdSense revenue is generated by parked domains.
Yeah.
And some people really hate the fact that their ads are showing up there, but I want to draw that to your attention because parked domain traffic is often type-in traffic of a domain name that somebody thought would have something and doesn't, and actually ends up being pretty targeted traffic. And so it's kind of important to track conversions, and you can generate a report that tells you conversion rates by topic category.
Yeah.
And you can find out if parked domains are good sources of traffic for you or not.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that I almost forgot.
Well, and you know what? Another area of this, and it could be relevant to either keywords or placements, is, you know, there's actually strategies where there is a list of all the sites that Google has demographic data on. So you could actually create entire campaigns around just websites where you can target demographically. And I didn't even add that to the list. That's a whole strategy in itself. I mean, we're going to talk about that in the training. But that in itself is a whole strategy all by itself.
Can you give me an example of how you've used demographic data successfully?
I actually had a cosmetic company, and we were still getting a lot of our ads shown to men, but those they weren't converting, and so we tweaked that more towards women because you have the option to actually say, you know, if this is a female, then it's worth 25% more per click or 75% more per click or whatever. Another way that we do this or use demographic is we turn off the 17 and under for a lot of industries just from a cash perspective. I mean, not many 17-year-olds have a PayPal account or a checking account. So, you know, they're going to get traffic, but they may not necessarily turn into a lead or sale. So,
can you target 17 and under specifically? Say, I want 17 and unders.
You know, if you had a Webkinz, you know, type of situation,
yeah,
and you wanted 17 and under, yes, you could actually target 17 and under specifically.
Well, I was afraid the privacy advocates would forbid us from doing that or something.
Well, you know, it's still an option.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Well, let's. I just want to mention the Content Network Bootcamp that we're doing starting in a week, January 20. We're calling this intermediate, which is really pretty advanced compared to the average bear. But I feel pretty comfortable saying that if you go through the intermediate course, you will be in the top 1% of all Google advertisers in terms of what you know about the Content Network. And Shelley is going to do a series of 4 weeks. She's going to do a very specific topic each week to help you drill down into the Content Network and suck the exact kind of visitors you want out of the Internet, that big fuzzy cloud. And then we also have an option where you can get additional coaching from Shelley, and she can look at your accounts, log in with you, and go through and show you where you got money laying on the table. And you go to perrymarshall.com/Shelley, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y, and there's a link there, and I'll take you there. Shelley, I'd like you to talk about filtering. We got multiple flavors of content filtering that people can do. Could you explain what that is and why we need it?
Yes, lots of flavors of filtering. This is probably one of the most important things about strategy, or probably the first thing that people need to understand when they're working with the content network. Because if you have a grasp for how to filter, then this helps you save money, be more targeted, and you're going to get to keep more of your hair. You won't be pulling it out so bad. So I'm going to go through the list again, and then we can come back through them. One way of filtering is to use negative keywords, just like you do for a regular paid search account, like you would just for Google, the search engine, and the partner search engines. We have what's called standard category filtering, which means that you can turn off filters or turn off types of pages, like the error pages kind of that we were talking about, or even those domain pages, social sites, game sites, sites that are, sexually oriented, or maybe they're gross and bizarre. I mean, there's this whole list of categories. So that's one option. Another option is just traditional site exclusions, and you may have heard of that before. And there's different options within site exclusions. There's actually top-level domains. There's subcategories of domains, and there's actually specific pages of domains. So you have the option to exclude, you don't have to just exclude an entire domain. You can actually just exclude a portion of a site. Category exclusions, that's one that most people don't know about. There is actually a way to code things so that you can tell the content network that I don't want to be a part of this particular category, dating, I don't want to be shown in, Russia, that kind of thing. There is a difference between doing exclusions from within your AdWords login, your user interface, and from actually pulling placement reports and using those reports to analyze sites that you might want to exclude. There's a very different strategy between the two of those. And there's also differences with filtering at the campaign level versus the ad group level. And I see a lot of people, I have been guilty of this for years and years, that will filter at the campaign level. And by doing that, they really, really hurt ad groups within that campaign that don't need that filter. So those are some of the things that we're going to talk about in the course coming up.
I'd like to single out something about negative keywords on the content network. You have to be really careful when you use negative keywords in content. Let's say that you advertised red wagons or some kind of children's wagons, and you did not want farm wagons in Google search. You would probably just put negative farm as a keyword. But putting farm as a negative keyword in a content ad group could easily kill sites that just happen to have the word farm on them, because kids play on farms and, different things like that. Or if there was a Farmer Brown toy set on the same page as the wagon, then all of a sudden your ad would never show up on there. And so now you have to think in terms of words that would only be on the page if the page was most definitely not about it. So you end up having to dig a little deeper to come up with appropriate negative keywords to use in a content ad group. Do you agree? Do you have anything to add or subtract from what I just said?
Yeah, I mean, that would be along the lines of the new car versus used car. In traditional paid search, we would potentially use the word used as a negative. But in traditional conversations, whether that's a blog or an article or just content on a traditional website, the word used could be on that site, 10 or 20 or 100 times. And if we have the word used as a negative, then Google's really trying to figure out, why we have that negative when we're on the content network trying to promote cars, new cars. You know, so it's a very different strategy for using negatives in the content network.
Why don't you talk a little more about category filtering? Could you explain why you need to do that at the ad group level and not the campaign level?
Yeah. Actually, one of my revelations came with a lighting company. And just going through that particular site and looking at the ad groups and the different, you know, all these different topics, what was interesting about that was that there were certain keywords that were being put as a negative at the campaign level, but those keywords were hurting other ad groups lower down, you know, that talked about other topics. And I wish I could think of something, you know, very specific. I think maybe wiring would be a good one. There's actually a type of lighting where you see it mostly in lofts and some funky retail stores and whatnot, where they have like the track lighting. And a lot of times you have those, a lot of times those lights will actually come down with wires. And so there's some terminology around that. So in paid search, you know, maybe we're not really trying to reach people who are looking up, you know, for information on how to wire their own lights or do-it-yourself kind of people. But on the content network, you know, the word wire or wiring could have actually referred to the specific type of lighting. So if we did that at a campaign level, we pretty much just wiped out almost an entire ad group by using that type of negative.
Could you talk about the difference between excluding a site and excluding a page and why you would do one versus the other?
Yeah, and, you know, I'm going to use MySpace as an example. I know that from the standpoint of relating to people doing a lot of advertising on MySpace, this is probably not that great of an example, but it's a good example because there's just so many subcategories within MySpace. In MySpace, you have classifieds.myspace.com. You have profile.myspace.com, groups.myspace.com, and then you have the top level of MySpace. And if you were targeting MySpace or maybe the demographics around MySpace were good for your type of marketing, then there are subcategories of MySpace that might actually do well for you. Maybe groups, maybe profiles. But videos.myspace.com is just not a good match for you. And the top level, myspace.com, is not good for you. So you could actually go in and tell Google very specifically the subcategories and types of pages that you did not want to be on. About.com is a really wonderful, really dense, site with all kinds of topics. So I wouldn't necessarily want to exclude about.com, but, you know, maybe Google's doing some weird stuff where, you know, they're showing a couple of subcategories that just aren't appropriate. It would be better to go through my placement report and just negative those subcategories as I see them, because typically it's not going to be an overwhelming amount of traffic anyway, instead of just, you know, wiping out all of my traffic from about.com.
It's really good to be able to realize that even in a site like MySpace, which is notorious for having bad AdWords traffic, okay, that there's still pockets of desirable traffic on that site if you can figure out where they are. And if you can figure out entire categories that you know are wrong, then you're so much closer to it. And, you know, this is the exact kind of thing that most people never know or bother with. They go, well, MySpace.com, I got this horrible conversion rate, so they exclude it, and now all of a sudden there's very few people in your category competing for that. And that's how you get the good traffic.
Yep.
And I think that as time goes on, all of this will just become more and more finely segmented. You'll just see, you know, the categories become narrower and more sharply defined. It's an ongoing thing. Is there any other, you know, raspberry, strawberry, butterbrickle things that you wanted to remember to talk about on the call today that I forgot to ask you about?
Oh, I wish I could come up with some really wonderful flavor to throw in here. I think I've covered a lot of flavors. And, you know, and we can really mix and match the flavors to come up with different results. You know, because each of these things that we've talked about are all strategies within themselves. And when you combine them with other strategies, you know, you come up with a completely unique flavor for what's going to work for you. So, you know, that's what's fun about this. That's what's challenging. That's what's interesting to me. And I like being the person over here in the lab, you know, who's figuring all this out and being able to pass this information along, because it's very valuable for you to be able to step right into your content campaign and have the knowledge, you know, to improve the odds for your success from the very, very beginning, from the day that you start.
One flavor that I would put on the list of things that you definitely want to experiment with is image ads. I know I've been talking about that some other places too, but you know, when you run text ads, you know, everybody knows them and everybody understands them, but image ads, you have all of the same category exclusions and site exclusions and everything, and there aren't as many places that they will run, of course, as text ads, but when you have a winning text ad, which you get there by testing, and there's so many things you can test, and you know, you go through and you test 10 or 20 image ads, or maybe even more, and you get an absolute killer winner, then you know, whatever the appropriate places are, it can outpull a text ad by 10 to 1. In terms of click-through rate. And so even though there aren't as many locations that run image ads, the click-through rate makes up for that. So you can really build a lot with image ads.
I was going to say, Perry's doing a call tomorrow with Glenn Livingston, and one of the things from Glenn Livingston's email top 10 best ideas of 2009 list that I got recently was, Perry, what you just said, and that is, don't ever have a highly successful text ad on the content network that you're not also running some version of the same as an image ad on the content network.
Exactly.
And for a lot of people, that may already go without saying, and if you're doing that, then excellent. When I read that in Glenn's email, I'm like, okay, this is a fundamental that I should know and have remembered, but I've forgotten it. So I immediately got to work on some new text ads. And again, the principle is if you've got a text ad that's working well on the content network, turn it into an image ad and send it out there so that it is now getting visibility. And you will see as you test these things and come up with new ideas, that if in fact you are coming up with new image ad ideas and so on, that what works with those image ads is obviously going to evolve in a very different direction from what is working with your text ads. But having a working text ad on the content network is a great source for a good image ad, and you should take advantage of that.
And we're actually going to get into a lot of ad image or a lot of ad strategy in this next course, because it just really plays into the whole placement, you know, the whole placement strategy and the difference between keywords, you know, the strategy with ads for keyword themes versus placement targeting. It's very different. Placement targeting is going to be a very big part of the upcoming training. but there will be other topics that we will integrate as well.
If you go to perrymarshall.com/Shelley, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y, we have the details on this upcoming boot camp. And I'll just cut to the chase. We have a really interesting guarantee that we put together for this. And the guarantee says, if you do the simple assignments we give you in the course and document the progress, then if you don't achieve at least three of the four following things, we'll give you your money back. And here are the four things. You'll increase your content traffic a minimum of 50%. Your click cost on the content network will drop a minimum of 20%. Your conversions on the content network will go up a minimum of 50%. And your cost per conversion on the content will drop a minimum of 20%. And we're guaranteeing that if you do the homework and you don't get at least three out of those four things, then we'll issue a refund. And so we just want this to be a no-brainer that if you're spending a significant amount of money on AdWords, then what you save on your clicks is going to pay for your education and put you in the top 1%. And so, you know, if you see the trends, you understand how to capitalize on these trends, you're one step closer to a ton of traffic, and you'll be 2 years ahead of your competitors. And the fastest way to get up to speed on a topic is coaching. And you get the most up-to-date info, you get direct interaction, sometimes things that you learn are 2 days old, and you do even better when you get one-on-one consultation, which we are making available here. And so if you're serious about getting more traffic, then the next step is to join the live boot camp. And the link is perrymarshall.com/Shelley. The boot camp is a live course. It kicks off January 20. It goes 5 weeks, including four teleclasses that give you a live training each time. You get one team action group call, which is a call with 10 people or less on the line with Shelley, and everybody's sharing screens and having an open discussion about what you're working on and what's working for you and what's not working for you. And plus you can upgrade to include 2 30-minute one-on-one consultations with Shelley where you can ask her anything you want. And if you want her to log into your account, she'll tell you exactly what's holding you back. And the intermediate course will put you in the top 1%. And the top dog in any market puts the 80-20 rule in your favor, and everybody else is going to be fighting over the crumbs. So I do have some discounts and also some limits. First, a discount. Anybody who's gone through a bobsled run or the 2009 AdWords boot camp gets 15% off any boot camp level, and the instructions are on the order form. Basically, you pay the full amount, and we'll issue you a refund. It's a simple 15% discount. The second thing is you can get a $400 discount or a $200 discount when you get both the intermediate and advanced boot camps. So we have this intermediate class starting January 20. We have an advanced class that starts in March, and you can sign up for both, and you can get a discount for the package. And then there's some bonuses. Back in 2009, a few months before the Beginner Content Network Boot Camp, Shelley put on a closed-door coaching program on the Content Network, and Shelley is offering the audio files and the PDFs from that program completely free. All you have to do is be one of the first 10 people to get both boot camps as a package. If you sign up for the intermediate and advanced, you will get that as a bonus. Plus, you'll save $400 depending on whether you choose the one-on-one consultation with Shelley. So you'll save a ton of money in the package deal, and you'll also get an accelerated fast start from the materials that Shelley gives as a bonus. So you just have to be one of the first 10 to sign up for both of these. And then there are three audio recordings of Content Network trainings that we did with Shelley plus Shelley gave us two more that she did with PPC Rockstars, and you get these right away to the first 15 clients that sign up for any level of the boot camp at all. Okay, and lastly, there is a limitation. Last time we did a boot camp, we limited the attendees to 50 people. Because we pre-sold so many intermediate boot camp seats before this call today, Shelley was gracious enough to let me add 10 more seats so we could accommodate a few more people. I don't want to turn anybody away, but we did turn people away last time, and I don't want it to happen to you. So, you know, if you want to get in, I've only got less than 30 seats left, and I haven't even been promoting this very hard at all. So PerryMarshall.com/Shelley. Well, actually, Jack wrote me a note. He said, four spots were previously sold from 2009. There's only 16 consulting slots left with Shelley. So we got less than 30 total and less than 16 for one-on-one with Shelley. So that's PerryMarshall.com/Shelley. We have a very aggressive guarantee. You'll achieve three out of those four things that I listed, or your money back, and it starts next Wednesday. So, you know, get on board, and we want to have the smartest content network geniuses as customers that we can. So,
and I just want to mention, we got tremendous feedback from the people that really took advantage of those team action group calls. When we did our beginner content network boot camp in November and December, just great feedback on that. And there are a couple of times I bumped into Shelley online at the end of the day after she'd been doing those, and she was absolutely exhausted in a very good way. like she had really, really been just kind of pouring out her heart and her knowledge on the subject to the people that were on those calls, and I know she really, really enjoyed doing that. It was physically taxing, but they got great, great content and really appreciated her, and I know that from the feedback that they gave me. So just wanted to mention that you really are getting good stuff from Shelley here.
Well, I think we got a great thing that's about to happen here. You know, I've been tuning into these calls, and I'm a student, and I'm learning. And you know, one of my best students sells a foreign language course, and as soon as they got done with the last boot camp, he just immediately signed up for the next one. He's like, "Man, I'm taking the bull by the horns." And so, I just want to encourage you. You know, if you're spending, oh, geez, you know, if you're spending more than $500 a month on content traffic, this is going to pay for itself. So why delay? Get smart. Stop giving Google stupid tax, and, you know, let's sharpen our pencils. So PerryMarshall.com/Shelley. You can also access it from the homepage of PerryMarshall.com. There's a link right there at the top in the upcoming events. And Shelley, thank you
so much
for your help today. It's been great.
It's been fun.
Okay.
Always.
Hey, everybody. Thank you, Brian. Have yourself a fine afternoon, and we'll see you next week on the Content Network Bootcamp.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.